Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Well, here we are at the end of 2023. My gosh, what a year it's been. And I must say, before I get into this, it's wonderful to be a part of a prophetic church, because the fun thing about being a part of a prophetic church is when you are about to stand up and speak, when you get someone like Andrew loose, he just preaches your whole message before you even stand up. So you kind of think to yourself, well, if I haven't done a good job, at least Andrew's done a good job, and he's brought the word to us. And it's just amazing how the same scriptures, the same content. He talked about David and the giants and stuff like that, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So it's wonderful to be such a part of such a wonderful team, and to be a part of this amazing house. Wow, 2023 is gone almost. Come midnight tonight, it is so gone. And I know some of you have certain festivities prepared and certain events are going on at your houses and stuff like that, which is wonderful. And it's been an incredible year. And what I want to do this morning is just take some time to reflect on God's goodness and reflect on all that the Lord has done for us over the year of 2023. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to read from verse 40 through to 51. That's 1 Samuel 17, from verses 40 through to 51. I'm going to read this morning from the New King James Version. Then he took his staff in his hand, verse 1, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. I want you to remember that. From the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. Anybody felt this year you've been disdained because you're good-looking? Well, David certainly was. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." This Goliath was a rotter, wasn't he? Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was. Verse 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone. And then he slung it and he struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, the Philistine sword, and he drew it out of the sheath and killed him. And he cut off his head with it. A study was done some years ago of people over the age of 90. Do we have anyone this morning over the age of 90 in this place? Anyone at all? Anybody feel they're over the age of 90 this morning? And the people over the age of 90 were asked one question. And the question was this: if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? And here are the three most common responses that were collated. The first response was this: if I could live my life over again, I would risk more. The second response, which was the most common that came through, was I would reflect more. And the third most common response was I would do more things that live on beyond my lifetime. And as I think of Rivers as a church, I believe in 2023, we've risked a lot. And I believe we have reflected a lot too. And yes, I'm going to talk about this a bit later. We have done things that will live on beyond our lifetimes. There are many figures in the Bible that reflect those personality traits or those characteristics. But the one I want to focus on that Andrew's already mentioned is David. David risked more, he reflected more, and he did more things that lived on beyond his lifetime. Let's take a look at David right now. David was probably one of the craziest people in the Bible. He lived the most adventurous and wild life that you could imagine. That was the kind of guy that he was. David lived a life of risking more. Now, the opposite of risking more is actually to be risk averse. What does it mean to be risk averse? That means you are disinclined to take risks. But David, we know, was the absolute opposite of taking risks. He actually decided, by the grace of God, that he was going to take on this character called Goliath. Now, who was Goliath? Well, Goliath stood 9 feet and 9 inches tall. That's about as tall as this sword raised over my head, because I'm about 5'9", and that's about another 4 feet. So just imagine someone standing that tall. The thing about Goliath was wherever he went, he instilled a culture of fear. And he loved doing that. He loved getting out of bed. And he loved to stretch himself to his full height and cause fear to come into everybody that he gazed at. And what he did with this fear thing was he got the whole army of Israel, the entire nation, into a spirit of fear. And for 40 days, Goliath taunted the armies of Israel, and no one was prepared to stand up against him. Why is that? That's called a spirit of fear. And I've just been fascinated this morning as Andrew has talked about about the thing of the burdens. And then Wendy said, we need to lose some weight. We got to lay those giants down. Amen. We got to come after them. And I've just been so encouraged by what Karma had to say as well. Praise God. God is working in this place. You see, Goliath symbolizes the giants we all face. Anyone never faced a giant? If you've never faced a giant, time to wake up. Because there are giants all over us. There are giants that are coming against us every single day. But the point I want to grab out of this story, as I mentioned when I was reading the passage, David chose 5 smooth stones. Have you ever wondered why? I want to unpack this for a moment, you see, because The thing is, when you're facing a seasoned warrior like Goliath, you're only going to get one shot. Because if you miss, you're history. Goliath would have taken David down in a second, but David wasn't going to miss. But why so much ammunition? I mean, there was one giant. Why did David choose to take 5 stones? Well, here's the clue, and here's the reason why. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 21, we read, in fact, if you want to read the whole story, I recommend you do, in 2 Samuel chapter 21. It turned out that Goliath had 4 brothers. Some of you are looking at me funny. I'll read it to you. In 2 Samuel 21:22, it says, "These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." You see, I read to you the passage from 1 Samuel 17. This is 2 Samuel 21. This was written some years later. See, David chose 5 stones because he was expecting Goliath's brothers to show up. He was expecting not to take one giant down, but he was expecting company. He was expecting some family members to make an appearance. You see, David wasn't risk averse. He was a risk seeker, but he wasn't foolish. David always consulted the Lord before he went into battle. The thing was, though, that David didn't just kill Goliath with a stone. What's powerful is he took out Goliath's own sword. He took the sword of the enemy that was intended for him, and he used that against his enemy. I think there's a powerful lesson in that for all of us. It's time we take the sword of the enemy and use the enemy's sword against him. Rick Joyner put it this way. He says, when the enemy attacks you one way, you attack him 7 ways. And it's time to take down the giants that are coming against us every single day. You see, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities." Powers and principalities come against us every single day. But the thing is, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And I thank God for the way this church goes after giants. I thank God for rivers. I thank God for an apostolic and prophetic church. I thank God that people like Andrew will stand up here and talk over complete strangers and say, "This is the word of the Lord." Wow, there's power there. There is exceptional power there. I'm going to do something right now, because it's one thing to encourage people to, you know, risk more, but you got to do it yourself. Because I've made a determination in my spirit, I'm never going to preach something I'm not doing. Is that good? Because I think sometimes people get up here and they wax lyrical about wonderful things they've never ever touched or never ever done. So on Friday at 4:27 p.m. in the afternoon, I was praying as I was preparing for this message this morning. And I said, "Lord, is there anything about anyone in this congregation you want me to address, or anyone you want me to pray for?" And the Lord spoke really clearly to my spirit. Now, I want to make it very clear, I'm taking a risk here. The fun thing is, I'm on streaming right now. There's 120 people here all watching. And I could blow this, and I could look stupid. Imagine that. Imagine looking stupid. However, if I'm not prepared to take risks, how can I challenge you to take any risks? The word the Lord gave me was epilepsy. What I felt the Lord was saying, that there's someone in here that you have had either diagnosis of epilepsy, or there's something in your history that is burdening you because epilepsy is there. Who is that person? I'd like to pray for you right now. There's one over there. Anyone else? Why don't you come forward? Come, Bernard, come forward. I'm going to pray for you right now. Dan Bless, won't you come with me as well? I want you to stand with me. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take that very risk I was talking about. See, God told me there was someone here, that there they are. I want to encourage you because we need to step out. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So, Dan, if you just stand behind this man, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stretch out our hands right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are the healer. Lord, I thank you there is no condition, no situation, Lord, that can stand before the blood of Jesus Christ or the power of God. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray you'll touch and heal this man in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Epilepsy be gone in the name of Jesus. And every manifestation of epilepsy, I thank you, Lord, that it is bound and broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Let your power flow in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sometimes the Lord does that. He says, oh, you're talking about risk, are you, Aaron? Okay. Time to get some risk going. Amen. You see, David risked more by killing Goliath, but also he killed something else. He killed the culture of fear and the culture of death that was all over the nation of Israel. David actually did something new and unprecedented in his lifetime. What did he do? He killed the culture off. Because the moment Goliath went down, the Israeli defense force, the entire army, rose up and defeated the Philistines and defeated the enemy. But more than that, when David defeated fear and death, he created a fresh new culture. A fresh new culture in the land of Israel that said, giants are no longer indestructible. Giants are no longer going to be a roadblock in my life. And we know that because we read in 2 Samuel, as I read before, 21 verse 22, that actually four more giants. You see, David didn't kill any more giants. The Bible doesn't, maybe he did, but the Bible doesn't record that. But you know what? There were some men who were watching. They were watching David take down that Goliath. And they were thinking to themselves, I got to do that. I want to have me a crack at a giant. And four more giants fell because of David's example. Why? Because David was willing to risk more. He was willing to risk more. And I pray over us as a church that we would be willing to risk more. What over your life do you need to risk more in right now? What is God saying to you? I believe God is talking to us as a people and saying to us, we need to risk more. Why? Because you see, what you tolerate dominates. For 40 days, the people of Israel, the army of Israel and King Saul tolerated the enemy. But David rose up and said, no more, because what you tolerate dominates. I'm not going to tolerate, I'm going to obliterate that which stands in the way of the Lord. You see, David did not only risk more, he reflected more. How do we know that David was a reflector? Well, there's another word for reflect, which is the word selah or selah. Selah means an invitation to pause. The word appears, I'm going to read this, the word appears no fewer than 71 times in 39 of the Old Testament Psalms. Also appears three times in Habakkuk chapter 3. The word selah is actually a musical term. And what selah actually means is to pause and to reflect. But selah also has another meaning. The root word actually comes from the word to weigh. And there's Wendy, prophetic Wendy, saying we need to lose some weight. Isn't it wonderful when the message is preached before you even preach it? it says to weigh what is being said. Isaiah 26:7 says, "The way of the Lord is just and up. The way of the just, I should say, is uprightness, almost upright. You weigh the path of the just." Here's the thing: it's very hard to weigh something that won't stand still. If you want to check your weight, you've actually got to stand still. When I stand on the scale, I just bind in the name of Jesus. You know, I bind the calories. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just believe. And I'm very tempted to kind of lean on something and take a bit of weight off there and make it look a little, you know, a little more rosy for me. But the thing is, if you're not standing still, you can't weigh. If you're not pausing and reflecting, you can't hear what God is saying. Andrew, I'm focusing a lot on you, Andrew. Hope that's okay. You're right there, Andrew? You okay? I love it. Andrew has said to us in that wonderful message, God moves at the speed of relationship. And the thing is, if we're going to find God in the speed of relationship, we need to reflect more. We need to pause and listen to what God is saying. I want to ask you in 2023, have you paused and listened to what God is saying? Have you stopped in the middle of the music to have a listen to what God is saying in the music? Do you listen to the words when you praise? We've sung some amazing songs this morning about God's greatness, about raising a hallelujah. In each of those songs, God is trying to speak to us. But the point is, we need to sila. We need to pause and listen and let the word of God wash over us. Sila is that invitation to pause and to weigh is what is being said. The thing about Jesus and Jesus' ministry is Jesus was never into speed. You never, ever read about Jesus rushing or trying to fulfill deadlines or getting his calendar out and saying, okay, disciples, today we have to feed 5,000, then I've got to walk on the water, then I've got to do this, and I've got to raise the dead, and I've got to do it. There was nothing like that. In fact, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus set a completely different standard. Turn to Luke chapter 5 quickly with me, verses 15 and 16. Luke 5, 15 and 16. It says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Look at verse 16. Absolutely key. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. What was Jesus doing? He withdrew so he could reflect. He withdrew so we could hear the Father. And this is so contrary, isn't it, to our Western way of thinking. There we have Jesus. It says there, the report was going around about him. Crowds were coming. Healing was flowing. You see, in our Western mindset, we would have ramped up and hyped up and gone even faster and done more and done more. But Jesus refused to do that. He said, no, I'm going to reflect more. I'm going to take time aside. I'm going to pray. Jesus chose to sila. And I want to ask you this morning, are you choosing to sila? Have you chosen in 2023 to pause, to listen? When the word of God is preached from the frontier, are you one of those that go back over the messages? I know many of you do. Ones like Paula are just amazing. They go over the message and they get the juice out of every single message. And I want to encourage you, because the more we pause and reflect, the more we sila, the greater quality we will get out of life. You see, God is always speaking, but I don't believe we're always listening. And that's the challenge for us. Are we listening? Are we pausing and reflecting? There was one more response that that those over the age of 90 gave, and that is, if I could live my life over, I would do more things that live on beyond my lifetime. Well, David once again personified this value so strongly. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And then we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. As you're turning to 1 Chronicles 17, the context of this was David had a powerful and deep relationship with the Lord. And part of that passion to follow God and passion to do God's will was he wanted to build God a house. And let's pick up the story in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains." Then Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." But it happened that night when the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in." Bit of a clue here when you're apologizing to someone. How many times have someone come up to you and said, "I'm sorry, but"? Here's the thing. When the word B-U-T comes up, what you're actually saying is, ignore everything I've just said, because here comes the truth. So just a bit of a clue there. Yeah, any married people out there, a bit of a clue there as well to all our wonderful married folk. It's funny how the ladies laugh the loudest when you say that. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now David, verses 5 to 6. Now David said, "Solomon my son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparation before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David longed to do something beyond his lifetime, and that was to build God a house. But God did not allow David to build that house, because David was a man of bloodshed. It tells us that in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 8. But David's response we've just read was absolutely key. He didn't resent or get angry with God because of what God said to him, but his response to God was to make preparations for something that would live on beyond his lifetime. You see, David, with all his failings and weaknesses, chose by killing a giant, writing many psalms, and making abundant preparation for the house of the Lord to create a new culture in Israel. David chose to risk more, reflect more, and do more things that would live on beyond his lifetime. I said earlier that I was going to talk about what this church is doing to do something that lives on beyond its lifetime. How many of you, I want to talk to the men right now. How many men in this place are you either being discipled or are you discipling someone? Can you just raise your hand? You are being discipled or you are discipling someone? Can you just raise your hand all throughout this place? Thank you. That's awesome. Can you just keep your hand raised? Discipleship lives on beyond your lifetime. Discipleship is something where you instill what God has revealed to you and what God has shown you, and you impart that into someone else's life. And I want you men to keep raising your hands, because if there's any man who is in this room today and you want to be discipled, take a look around. These are the men to go to. These are the men who will help you, who've got something that's invested in them that is going to live on beyond their lifetime. Thanks, men. You can put your hands down. That's what Rivers is doing, to go on beyond its own lifetime. And I want to ask you in 2023, what have you done that is going on beyond your lifetime? And I believe the key that we can do to do something that lives on beyond our lifetime is we can invest in each other. We can invest in the next generation. And thank you, Wendy, and thank you for Andrew for emphasizing that. And Andrew, it was great the way you called all these young people up. They are going to live, most likely, far longer than what you and I are going to be. And the day is going to come when they're going to be the old codgers sitting in their seats. And then someone's going to stand up and say, all the young people and all their kids are going to jump up, woo, and going to come up the front. And what we're going to see there is how this whole concept and this whole value of raising up the next generation, of doing something that lives beyond our lifetime, is happening here in the life of the church. Let's stand this morning. Can we just bow our heads as we're standing this morning? Thanks, Aaron. Won't you come and play the keys for us? Thank you, Jesus. Actually, Aaron, can you play the key of C and just hold that for me, please? Thanks. Hallelujah. God is so good. It's been a great morning, and we just thank you. And I just want to make it very clear, to God be the glory for all that He has done. We're not trying to say that we're the only church or we do it better than any other church. But what we want to do is give praise and glory to God for 2023. God has done amazing things. He has blown us away. We've been in a year of jubilee, 20 years in this building, 50 years of celebrating together as Rivers Church. God has again and again shown His faithfulness. God has again and again blessed this church. And I say it again, it's a joy and a privilege to be on team in a church that is both apostolic and prophetic. Hallelujah. Nothing more fun than having your message preached before you even preach it. It's such a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And just while we're standing and while our heads are bowed, I want to leave this challenge with you as we end off 2023 and we go into 2024. Would you be willing to risk more? Would you be willing to look silly, to look stupid, to look foolish in front of the eyes of man? But would you risk more for God? That's the challenge this morning. The second thing I want to challenge you with is, will you be willing as you go into 2024 to reflect more? We've got to slow down before we go down. We need to take the time to stop, to selah, to listen to what God is saying. And I believe God is always speaking. It's just we're not always listening. God wants to speak to you. You can look at Andrew and say, wow, how does he get all those words of knowledge? Or look at Wendy or others and think, oh, well, they're just amazing. Yes, they have wonderful gifts. But you know something? The same Spirit that is on them is in you. And the same Spirit of God wants to speak to you and use you to be a blessing to all the people around you. Would you risk more? Would you say, I'm going to take this morning the sword of the Spirit to those giants? I'm going to step out, even though I look stupid, I'm going to step out and take the sword. And no longer am I going to tolerate, because what I tolerate dominates. I'm not going to tolerate, I'm going to obliterate in the name of Jesus. And lastly, as we face 2024, would you be willing to do things that live on beyond your lifetime? And what we can do, you know, David purposed in his heart to build a temple. And as we know, David didn't build it, but Solomon did. But he made the preparations for it. Do you know you can prepare other people's lives. Other people that are going to live longer than you, that are going to live on beyond your lifetime. It's called discipleship. And Jesus said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. Disciples. That's key. And I believe God is stirring some of you up this year. It's your year to start discipling. Oh, yeah. It's your year to start doing something that's going to live on. And as I've made those statements, and as I put those things across to us as a congregation, maybe you need prayer this morning. And the great thing is we've already had prayer, but I'm going to go after fear again in the name of Jesus, because I believe there is fear still amongst us. There are some of you that are just so afraid of rejection. You're so afraid that as you go back to work, you're not going to live up to expectations. You're so afraid that you're going to be rejected. You're so afraid to share your faith. What if somebody rejects me? And maybe this morning you saying, I'm just living at such a ridiculously fast pace. I'm not stopping. I'm not pausing. I'm not listening. I'm not reflecting on what God is saying. I'd like to pray for you too this morning. And there are others here, you're thinking, well, actually, if I'm honest, Aaron, I don't think past lunch. Never mind doing anything that's going to go on beyond my lifetime. I'm so, you know, in the moment, I'm not taking the time to think about what I can do that's going to go on beyond my lifetime. If you fall into those categories, I'm going to ask you to do a risky thing, and that is get out of your seat and come and stand up the front right now. Come and stand up here, because myself and the ministry team, we would love to pray for you. It's time to just close the door. We've got to close the door on 2023. You're moving into 2024. It's time to put those things down, to lay those things aside. It's time to put the sword to those giants and to move forward and into all of God's fullness. Karma said it this morning, I feel more full. Such a great word. I believe that's a prophetic word for us as a church. We need to be feeling more full of God, more full of His promises, more full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Spirit is here. So won't you come right now? Won't you lead us in something, Aaron, just to sing something? Folk, won't you come? Just come and stand up the front with me right now. I'd like to pray with you.